God is so good. And I hope that you're ready to participate this morning and learn that you're not too late to get your phone. And I really am. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, so much for this opportunity. You just open your word, Lord, to hear from you, Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I love to study the word, and I love tools to help me study the word. And I know I've talked to some of the guys around here about some of the tools that they have. I'm sure that some of you ladies have some awesome tools nowadays. The better the tool, the better the work. That's just the way it is. And even a good tool make you look good. Amen? So, there's a tool now to help you study the Bible. There's some Bible apps out there. And if you have your phone, you're welcome to get on it right now and download the app. It's called the Blue Letter Bible app. You download it and you can follow along if you like. If not, just listen and hunt. So as I was studying, some things stick out to me. By heart, the armor of God. Can anybody tell me where the armor of God is? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Yeah, where it begins. And in that, there's a word in there. It's the word to be empowered. And so I looked up this word. It says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. Right? So I wanted to know, what does that mean? Be strong in the Lord. When I went to college, by the way, I got saved out of drugs and alcohol 49 years ago. What a blessing, right? And the only reason I made it through high school is because they didn't want to deal with me anymore. Alright? Now I love shop class, no problem. And I love architecture drawing and all the rest of that kind of stuff. But English? Right. When I got to college, the only course I ever failed in college was English 101. Second time through, I got a D. And it's interesting, as I studied Greek, my first year as a young man, off of drugs and alcohol, 2 years after all that, I'm studying the Bible and I'm studying Greek. And I'll tell you what, it was Greek that taught me English. And it helped. It really did. I passed Greek, failed English. I want to know what this word means to be empowered. And it's the word, the root word is dunamis, which we get the word dynamo from, or dynamite. God wants us to be empowered. And it's the word dunamato. Long story short, it means to be empowered. Now, it can be used in different ways. You can put a different ending on it. If you put a different ending on it, it means you be strong. If you put a different ending on it in Greek, it means you be empowered. Okay, so I want to know specifically what my job is in the Lord. I want to know if I can be empowered, how I can be empowered. So I looked it up, and in that little blue letter Bible app, you go right to the word and scroll down, and it'll tell you exactly how many times this one word is used in the New Testament. So it's only used 8 times. So you can do an exhaustive study pretty quickly of every time it talks about being empowered. I want to know how to be empowered by God. I need to know. There's a lot of work left to do out there, right? A whole lot of work to do. So I'm hopeful today that you'll listen, you'll understand how to be empowered, In this Greek language, the tense of the verb is critical, and I know, I don't know if that means anything to you or not, but the tense of the verb means this. It's either passive, something being done unto me, God is empowering me. Paul said that. Paul said, and the Lord stood with me, and he empowered me. I want to know that, right? There's other times, guess what? I need to be empowered by God. God needs to pour into me and help me. That is, I need to allow him to empower me. And we're going to look at some of that today. I don't think we'll get through all eight of them. There's eight verses. And I have no idea what time it is, but I know you probably. There you go. How the heck now? Can you pray for me? Amen. So the first place it's talking about being empowered is in the New Testament here, is in Acts. And if you will go there, get to it. Acts 9. And it's talking about Paul. Saul, actually, Saul at this time, and then Saul becomes Paul. How does it, and I'll actually read the verse here that has to do with it. Saul, it's Acts chapter 9, verse 22. It says, but Saul, this is after he even became saved, they still called him Saul for a little while. Acts 9:22. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt in Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. If you look at the context, and by the way, I'll just tell you this, get a little notes here. This is what it looks like, by the way, if you print out some of that stuff from the Blue Letter Bible app. It'll go and tell you what the word is. It'll tell you what it came from, how it's translated, how many times it's used in the New Testament, and how to use it. Now, by the way, if you really want to know what a word means, hear it in context. That's how you learn as a child, right? They didn't teach English first, you just started listening, right? You hear it in context. You read through the Bible and you see how this word is used in different places. You really start to get a good sense of it. So I want to know exactly what happened with Paul here. This is called imperfect. That means the timing on this is, it just kind of happened. He was strengthened and it just kind of happened along the way. Have you ever been away from some children and you see them another year later and all of a sudden they're that big? Right? They were this big, now they're that big. Right? Or sometimes you walk past a mirror and you look and you say, who's that guy in the mirror, right? Because I remember him as younger. It just kind of happens. And with Paul, this is exactly what happened. And his story was this. He was persecuting the church. Y'all know that. The Lord Jesus spoke to him on the road to Damascus. I think he cried a horse. I don't know if he was or not, but it doesn't say, but he fell to the ground. He got knocked off his high horse. That's Bobology right there. It's not the Bible. But he was humble. He was blinded. They took him to Damascus. He spent 3 days in prayer. Somebody was sent to him. Ananias was sent to him. Paul was healed. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then it said that he spent time with the disciples. He spent a certain amount of time with the disciples, And then it said he began to go out and to proclaim this verse of the Trinity, Jesus. And it says that he was strengthened, he was empowered by God. And I think about, what's this process of being empowered? Paul got saved. Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul spent time with the disciples. Now, this is the question. Has this happened for you? Have you been saved? Do you know the Holy Spirit? Have you listened to the Holy Spirit within you? Because he listened. The Bible says this very clearly. It says that my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Are you spending time with the disciples? You're spending time with one another. And lastly, are you telling people what you know about Jesus? Now, Paul knew a whole lot because he knew the Old Testament. But are you telling people what you know about Jesus? If you want to be strengthened, right, and to grow up in the Lord, this is what we have to do. It was just a natural process for him. Where it all happened, it happened along the way. And is this something that you should do? Tell people about Jesus. Is this important for your Christian growth? Who can tell me a Bible verse that might support that? I get my wife to talk with you all about it. You're about to talk. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 says this. It says that those that have made it to the end of the race, the end of their life, it says this, that they overcame the evil one. Talking about the devil. Three different things. How did they overcome the evil one? The blood of the Lamb. The word of their testimony. That's right. And what? And that they love not their life, even unto death. Part of that, making it to the end, beating the devil, is you talking about the Lord. Telling somebody what you know. And you think, oh, mate, I don't know a whole lot. If you go to Mark chapter 5, you'll also see a man that just got saved. Mark chapter 5, there's a man that had at least, how many demons in him? This is called the demoniac. He had a legion of demons in him. A legion 6,000. But there were 2,000 pigs on a hill, and when Jesus cast the demons out of them, 2,000 pigs went down and drowned themselves in the lake. This man wanted to follow Jesus. Jesus said, you can't come with me right now. He said, but I want you to go back to your 10 cities, Decapolis, 10 cities. And I want you to tell them this. How good God's been to you and how God has had mercy on you. Let me ask you this. Do you know how good God's been to you? You have a testimony. Right? Nobody can deny your testimony. It's what God did in your own life. If you want to be empowered, part of this process of being empowered is talking to people about you. And it just happens. It just happens. You'll grow and grow and grow and grow. With that man, the demoniac, he told him, tell him what great things the Lord has done for me and how he's had mercy on me. Those two things, grace and mercy. Every Christian should understand those and be able to explain them. God actually favored me, and I have no idea why. God actually had mercy on me, and I have no idea why. But I know it's through His Son. So this is one way for natural strengthening. So this word, and being a model, we're going to look at the next verse. this strengthening. Romans chapter 4 and verse 20. Romans 4. Who can tell me what's in Romans 4? Y'all are in school now. Hey, better say that. Sorry. This is how I treat my guys in class. Romans chapter 4 is amazing, and it's all about Abraham and Abraham's faith. And let's go there, Romans 4:20. The Bible talks about Abraham, and it says, chapter 4, verse 20, he staggered not at the promise or the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. There's that word. He was empowered by faith, right? Giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was imputed unto him as righteousness. Now, if you look at verse 18, it says this in that same chapter, who against hope believed in God. Believed in hope. Sorry. That he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when it was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God, who unbelieved, but was strong in faith. Now this happened at a point in time. Eris, what they call Eris, no big deal there. It happened at a point in time. And it was passive. Abraham did not actively do this. It's something that happened to him. He grew strong in faith. It just happened. How many different things did Abraham go through? Oh my goodness. Right? First, Abraham got called out of his father's household to follow him. And what did he do? He didn't know where he was going. God said, just go, I'll show you. And he started walking. Lord help us. Abraham did, let me ask you this. If you know Abraham's life, did he struggle some? Yes, he did. What did he say his wife was? He said, she's my sister. Right? There was a thing, a person called Abimelech, which is just a name for the leader of the people, the Abimelech. And even the Pharaoh. So he goes down to Egypt and he says, she's my sister there. And God proved himself faithful. Even in the midst of the struggle. Two or three times this thing goes on. Even with the whole story of Ishmael and Isaac, God kept proving himself faithful. You may have some defeats in your life, but do you still know and are you still following the God that is faithful? And I'm sure you are. That's why you're here this morning. You're still following Him. Now this is interesting. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 17. Matter of fact, we can go there if you like. Let's go back to Genesis. God says some unusual things. Well, we'll go to Genesis chapter 22. I think that'll be more pertinent to what we're talking about here. Abraham had a lot of stuff going on, a lot of trusting God and a lot of vacillating and having a hard time trusting God and God proving himself faithful over and over and over again. And then finally at the end of his life, even after the trouble with Ishmael and Hagar, Abraham got to the place where he was strengthened so much in his faith that when God said this, take your son, your only son, whom you love. By the way, I'll just stop there. This is the first time the word love is used in the Bible. A father for a son. This is reminiscent of what God's love for his only son. This is the root of all true love. And it's interesting, and it's just an aside, help me Lord not to get too far off the track. At the end of the Old Testament, God said these words in Malachi, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. John the Baptist came preaching two different things. In the beginning of the New Testament, God got silent for 400 years. Did you know that? Between Malachi and Matthew, 400 years of silence. And if your wife ever says something to you, such and such and such and such and such, and then she gets silent for a long time, you might want to listen to that last thing she said, right? Might want to think, well, what's that she was saying? Amen. So Malachi says, turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Then when John the Baptist comes preaching, he preached two different things. He said, repent of the kingdom, heaven is at hand. And he said this, turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. So God said to Abraham, take your son, your only son, whom you love. And take him up there and sacrifice him on the hill. And in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 3, it says this, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. And he saddled his donkey, and he got the boy, and he got the servants, and he took him up on the hill. His faith had grown and had strengthened, was empowered through a bunch of life and a bunch of ups and downs, right? But he still kept trusting God, even though God had to prove himself strong sometimes. But at the end of his life, where was he? He was a tough guy. I don't know if I could trust God that much to take my only son up on the mountain. And he took the knife, and he took the fire, and he wasn't kidding. And it was the angel that had to stop it. Chapter 22 in Genesis and verse 12 is a very unusual verse. I'll read it to you. And when I read it, I thought, I don't understand that verse. But I'll read it to you anyway. By the way, I love to give you half the story sometimes, and hopefully you'll go to the word and figure it out yourself. That's what I like to do. I don't want to just tell you everything, but this is interesting. This is what it says. 22:12, it says, and he's just about to plunge the knife into his own son. And God said, and he said, lay not your hand upon him, neither do thou anything on him. What did God say? For now I know that you fear God. How did God say that? For now I know. By the way, there's 10 different words in the Bible that are all translated no. I'm trying to figure out which one this is and what God is actually saying is your next job. Okay. God looked at him and look at him. Now I can see fully that you're going to follow me. You're going to do that. Abraham was strengthened by a life of not, following God and having, great success, some failures along the way, but being unstoppable. Following God, maybe a few little bumps in the road, following God. And God says this about Abraham when he sums it all up. Romans 4:20 is where we came off. He staggered not at the promise of God. He had been strengthened by everything he had been through. Is this true in your life? I hope so. Listen, it's either a stumbling block or a stepping stone, one or the other. God gives us tests and trials to go through to learn something, and it's to learn something about him. He remains faithful. So this is how Abraham was strengthened. This encourages me a little bit, because have I done it right all the time? No. Have somebody come out and validate that. It's my wife sitting right there. Praise God. But have I stayed the course? Now you have to ask her too. Okay. I hope when God is all, when it's all said and done, I can learn like Abraham. And by the way, this scares me just a little bit. Abraham's hardest test and trial was when? Not in the beginning when he told him leave and go to a place I'll show you. His hardest test and trial was when he told him. But he had been trained and been trained and been trained and been trained. And finally, he did what was right. God said, now I know. Wow. Now we're going to go to one more because I think I'm going to run out of time. Now, should I finish that? Well, 15 minutes. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. This strengthening. And dunamato, to be strengthened. I want to be strengthened. I need to be empowered by God. Paul was strengthened naturally as he did what was right. Abraham was strengthened by tests and trials all through his life, and he still stayed true. Here, this is the armor of God. We talked about Ephesians last week. The three words that we use for Ephesians, or I use for Ephesians, was to sit or learn how to rest in God. The second was learn how to walk out your Christian life. Third is stand up and fight the devil. And I'll read this for you and then we'll just talk about it and see where the Lord will lead us in that. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This word is the same word in dunamato, to be made strong. This is, let me see, present, passive, imperative. Present tense means now and keep doing it. Imperative means what? Imperative, right? Means it's a command. Passive means what? Who's doing the action here? It's not me. If I'm doing it, it's active. Passive means this. I'm allowing this to happen to me. So literally, And you can see in the second part of the verse, it says, be strong where? In the Lord and in the power of whose might? His might. God is literally saying, I want to empower you. I want to empower you. And then he says, here's some armor. You need to take it. And we'll look at that in just a second, because it's so interesting. God wants you to allow him to empower you. I don't know if that encourages you, but that encourages me. I need the power of God. There's a mess out there, right? I need to be able to speak to that mess. I need to be able to tell them the truth. I need to be able to tell them my testimony. I need to be empowered by God. This is passive, so let me read it again. Finally, my brethren, be empowered in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then it says, put on the armor of God. This is interesting also. It's another verb, put on. This is in, there's active, I'm doing it, middle. It can be between two parties. Passive, it's happening to me. This is middle voice. Put on the armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, what does this mean? Have you ever seen some of that old armor in the castles? You know how a guy got into that stuff? With some help. You can't put that stuff on by yourself. Have you ever seen a valet? Or husbands, I hope sometimes you help your wife put on the coat, right? Yeah. This is the middle voice. God says, I have some armor for you. Let me help you put this on. Wouldn't it be nice? There's parts to the armor. By the way, if I give one of these little boys here a sword, right? Which is part of the armor of God. Right? He's not going to be well trained with that sword. Right? Although he might do some damage. God says, let me help you put this armor on. Could you imagine in every piece of the armor, God was instructing you what every piece is for and how to use it and all that. This is middle voice. And it also is imperative. The need to God, let God help you put on this armor. Now there's a point in here where it's actually my God. Where it's active, it's my job. And I'll show you that. Verse 13 says, 6:13 says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Actively, now God's helped you. God wants to give it to you. You have to submit to that. God wants to help you get to know all of it, and that now is your job to take it all. The next part here says this. And having done all to stand, verse 13 and verse 14, stand therefore. This is also imperative that you stand. It's also imperative that you do the standing. This is actually my job. God has helped me. God has given me all this stuff. Now it's my job to stand. Most of my Christian life I've been looking for what's my job to do? What's my job to do? I am so glad it's Him trying to empower me. Him that's trying to show me how to use the armor. And all I have to do is stand. Stand against all the things that the devil throws at me. Above all, it says in verse 16, taking the shield of faith. This is also active. It's your job to take the shield of faith. You're going to come into all kinds of trouble out there, and you don't know where all the attack is coming from. And I've been under attack like that, and all I could do, by the way, what is your faith in? Your faith is in God, right? So that's our shield of faith. And when the attacks come in, it's just like, oh God, help me. That's my job. Call on the Lord. Yeah. All right. Let's see what we're doing on time. We may have one more. I want you, now I'm done. My time is up. Let me sum up. We need God's help. We need God's empowerment. He wants to give us this armor of faith, or armor of God. We'll back up. Just think real quick. Paul was strengthened. Why? He got saved. He got to understand who the Holy Spirit was in his life and start listening to him. He had fellowship with the disciples, and he started talking, speaking for God. He grew up. He was strengthened in God. Abraham started strong, vacillated back and forth, but he never gave up. And at the end of his life, what happened? God said, take your son, and he did. Got up early in the morning. His faith grew strong. And here, you just need to know this. God wants to enable you. God wants to strengthen you. Work with him. Let him teach you the armor. Think about that this week. A little boy with a sword, right? That's kind of us. God wants to train us. God wants to show us every piece of armor that we have and what he thinks about it, not what we think about. There's so many things in life that are like that. Every tool that I've got, every phone that I've got, somebody knows better than me how to use this thing. That thing over there, that computer over there, that car, I still don't know what all the buttons are on my own car. Okay? I mean, I couldn't program the radio if you couldn't have it. God wants to show you how to use every piece of this armor. And how to have the victory, how to strengthen us. So, I'm going to pray, brother. I'm going to close. Is that okay? Lord willing, next time we'll talk a little bit more about God empowering you. I hope this has been an encouragement to you. Heavenly Father, you want to empower us. You want to show us, Lord, how to be strong in your life. It is in you, Lord. For without you, Lord, we can do nothing. But with you, the Bible says, we can do all things. So, Father, help us now as we think about this. I pray that somehow that everyone in here study this for themselves and find, Lord, what it is in their life that they might need, or how to encourage another person with this. So, Father, direct us and bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I got 3 out of 8. Amen. If anybody wants help putting the, what do you call that, the blue letter Bible app on the phone so they can study themselves.